Donovan broke it, voice trembling in an effort to keep itself emotionless. He said, "As long as we can't increase Rule 2 potential by giving further orders, how about working the other way? If we increase the danger, we increase Rule 3 potential and drive him backward." Powell's visiplate had turned toward him in a silent question. "You see," came the cautious explanation, "all we need to do to drive him out of his rut is to increase the concentration of carbon monoxide in his vicinity. Well, back at the station, there's a complete analytical laboratory."
"Naturally," assented Powell, "it's a mining station."
"All right. There must be pounds of oxalic acid for calcium precipitations."
"Holy space! Mike, you're a genius!"
So-so, admitted Donovan modestly. "It's just a case of remembering that oxalic acid on heating decomposes into carbon dioxide, water, and good old carbon monoxide. College chem, you know." Powell was on his feet and had attracted the attention of one of the monster robots by the simple expedient of pounding the machine's thigh.
"Hey," he shouted, "can you throw?"
"Master."
"Never mind."
Powell damned the robot's molasses slow brain. He scrabbled up a jagged brick-sized rock.
"Take this," he said, "and hit the patch of bluish crystals just across that crooked fissure. You see it?"
Donovan pulled at his shoulder.
"Too far, Greg. It's almost half a mile off."
"Quiet," replied Powell. "It's a case of Mercurian gravity in a steel-thrown arm. Watch, will you?" The robot's eyes were measuring the distance with machinery-accurate stereoscopy. His arm adjusted itself to the weight of the missile and drew back. In the darkness, the robot's motions went unseen, but there was a sudden thumping sound as he shifted his weight, and seconds later the rock flew blackly into the sunlight. There was no air resistance to slow it down, nor wind to turn it aside, and when it hit the ground, it threw up crystals precisely in the center of the blue patch. Powell yelled happily and shouted, "Let's go back after the oxalic acid, Mike!" And as they plunged into the ruined substation, on the way to the tunnels, Donovan said grimly, "Speedy's been hanging about on this side of the selenium pool ever since we chased after him. Did you see him?"
"Yes."
"I guess he wants to play games."
"Well, we'll play him games."
They were back hours later, with 3-liter jars of the white chemical and a pair of long faces. The photocell banks were deteriorating more rapidly than had seemed likely. The two steered their robots into the sunlight and toward the waiting Speedy in silence and with grim purpose. Speedy galloped slowly toward them.
"Here we are again, whee! I've made a little list, the piano organist, all people who eat peppermint and puff it in your face."
"We'll puff something in your face," muttered Donovan.
"He's limping, Greg."
"I noticed that," came the low, worried response. "The monoxide'll get him yet if we don't hurry."
They were approaching cautiously now, almost sidling, to refrain from setting off the thoroughly irrational robot. Powell was too far off to tell, of course, but even he could have sworn the crack-brained Speedy was setting himself for a spring.
"Let her go," he gasped. "Count three. 1, 2.
Two steel arms drew back and snapped forward simultaneously, and two glass jars whirled forward in towering parallel arcs, gleaming like diamonds in the impossible sun. And in a pair of soundless puffs, they bit the ground behind Speedy in crashes that sent the oxalic acid flying like dust. In the full heat of Mercury's sun, Powell knew it was fizzing like soda water. Speedy turned to stare, then backed away from it slowly, and as slowly gathered speed. In 15 seconds he was leaping directly toward the two humans in an unsteady canter. Powell didn't get Speedy's words just then, though he heard something that resembled lover's professions when uttered in Hessians. He turned away.
"Back to the cliff, Mike. He's out of the rat and he'll be taking orders now. I'm getting hot."
They jogged towards the shadow at the slow, monotonous pace of their mounts, and it wasn't until they had entered it and felt the sudden coolness settle softly about them that Donovan looked back.
"Greg!"
Powell looked and almost shrieked. Speedy was moving slowly now, so slowly, and in the wrong direction. He was drifting back into his rut, and he was picking up speed. He looked dreadfully close and dreadfully unreachable in the binoculars. Donovan shouted wildly, "After him!" and thumped his robot into its pace, but Powell called him back.
"You won't catch him, Mac. It's no use."
He fidgeted on his robot's shoulders and clenched his fist in tight impotence.
Why the devil do I see these things 5 seconds after it's all over? Mike, we've wasted hours.
We need more oxalic acid, declared Donovan solidly. The concentration wasn't high enough.
7 tons of it wouldn't have been enough, and we haven't the hours to spare to get it, even if it were with a monoxide chewing him away. Don't you see what it is, Mike?
And Donovan said flatly, no.
We were only establishing new equilibriums. When we create new monoxide in increased Rule 3 potential, he moves backward till he's in balance again, and when the monoxide drifted away, he moved forward, and again there was balance.
Powell's voice sounded thoroughly wretched. It's the same old runaround. We can push at Rule 2 and pull at Rule 3. We can't get anywhere. We can only change the position of balance. We got to get outside both rules.
And then he pushed his robot closer to Donovan's, so that they were sitting face to face, dim shadows in the darkness, and he whispered, Mac?
Is it the finish?
Dully.
I suppose we go back to the station, wait for the banks to fold, shake hands, take cyanide, and go out like gentlemen.
He laughed shortly. Mac, repeated Powell earnestly, we gotta get speedy.
I know.
Mac, once more.
And Powell hesitated before continuing.
There's always Rule 1. I thought of it earlier, but it's desperate.
Donovan looked up and his voice livened.
We're desperate.
All right. According to Rule 1, a robot can't see a human come to harm because of his own inaction. 2 and 3 can't stand against it. They can't, Mac.
Even when the robot is half well, he's drunk. You know he is.
It's the chances you take.
Cut it. What are you going to do?
I'm going out there now and see what Rule 1 will do. If it won't break the balance, then what the devil? It's either now or 3-4 days from now.
Hold on, Greg. There are human rules of behavior, too. You don't go out there just like that. Figure out a lottery and give me my chance.
All right.
First to get the cube of 14 goes. And almost immediately, 2744.
Donovan felt his robot stagger at a sudden push by Powell's mount, and then Powell was off into the sunlight. Donovan opened his mouth to shout, and then clicked it shut. Of course, the damn fool had worked out the cube of 14 in advance, and on purpose, just like him. The sun was hotter than ever, and Powell felt a maddening itch in the small of his back. Imagination, probably, or perhaps hard radiation beginning to tell, even through the insosuit. Speedy was watching him, without a word of Gilbert and Sullivan gibberish as greeting. Thank God for that, but he daren't get too close. He was 300 yards away when Speedy began backing, a step at a time, cautiously. And Powell stopped. He jumped from his robot's shoulders and landed on the crystalline ground with a light thump and a flying of jagged fragments. He proceeded on foot, the ground gritty and slippery to his steps, the low gravity causing him difficulty. The soles of his feet tickled with warmth. He cast one glance over his shoulder at the blackness of the cliff's shadow and realized that he had come too far to return, either by himself or by the help of his antique robot. It was Speedy or nothing now, and the knowledge of that constricted his chest. Far enough. He stopped.
Speedy, he called. Speedy?
The sleek modern robot ahead of him hesitated and halted his backward steps, then resumed them. Powell tried to put a note of pleading in his voice and found it didn't take much acting.
Speedy, I've got to get back to the shadow where the sun will get me. It's life or death, Speedy. I need you.
Speedy took one step forward and stopped. He spoke. But at the sound, Powell groaned, for it was, when you're lying awake with a dismal headache and repose is tabooed. It trailed off there, and Powell took time out for some reason to murmur, Iolanthe. It was roasting hot. He caught a movement out of the corner of his eye and whirled dizzily, then stared in utter astonishment, for the monstrous robot on which he had written was moving toward him and without a rider. He was talking.
Pardon, master. I must not move without a master upon me, but you are in danger.
Of course. Rule 1 potential above everything. But he didn't want that clumsy antique, he wanted Speedy. He walked away and motioned frantically.
I order you to stay away, I order you to stop.
It was quite useless. You couldn't beat one Rule 1 potential. The robot said stupidly,
you are in danger, master.
Powell looked about him desperately. He couldn't see clearly.
His brain was in a heated whirl. His breath scorched when he breathed, and the ground all about him was a shimmering haze. He called a last time desperately, "Speedy, I'm done, damn you! Where are you? Speedy, I need you!" He was still stumbling backward in a blind effort to get away from the giant robot he didn't want, when he felt steel fingers on his arm, and a worried, apologetic voice of metallic timber in his ears. "Holy smokes, Buzz, what are you doing here? And what am I doing? I'm so confused."
"Never mind," murmured Powell weakly. "Get me to the shadow of the cliff and hurry."
There was one last feeling of being lifted into the air, and a sensation of rapid motion and burning heat, and he passed out. He woke with Donovan bending over him and smiling anxiously. "How are you, Greg?"
"Fine," came the response.
"Where's Speedy?"
"Right here. I sent him out to one of the other selenium pools with orders to get that selenium at all costs this time. He got it back in 42 minutes and 3 seconds. I timed him. He still hasn't finished apologizing for the runaround he gave us. He's scared to come near you for fear of what you'll say."
"Drag him over," ordered Powell. "It wasn't his fault."
He held out a hand and gripped Speedy's metal paw.
"It's okay, Speedy."
Then to Donovan, "You know, Mike, I was just thinking."
"Yes?"
"Well," he rubbed his face. The air was so delightfully cool. "You know that when we get things set up here and Speedy put through his field tests, they're going to send us to the space station next?"
"Yes. At least that's what old Lady Calvin told me just before we left. And I didn't say anything about it because I was going to fight the whole idea."
"Fight it?" cried Donovan. "But
I know. It's all right with me now. 273 degrees centigrade below zero. Won't it be a pleasure?"
"Space station," said Donovan. "Here I come."